her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever.
On the scale of importance in the NFL, where does the combine rank? I mean, it's beneath the draft, but not substantially beneath the draft.
I think it's substantially beneath the draft.
Beneath the Senior Bowl?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, because there's actual football at the Senior Bowl.
So go ahead and power rank some of the...
Okay, well, obviously, like, the season, number one. After that,
I could make the argument that the playoffs are number one. If you
want to break that down, we can do that later. But the season itself, obviously number one. If we're talking about off-season stuff, number one, I would say reporting to training camp. Two is the mini camps, OTAs. Three, I will go Senior Bowl. Four, schedule release.
Whoa.
Five, combine.
Gabe just put the schedule release above the combine.
Yeah, the combine's
worthless. Are you talking evaluation process or excitement for the fan?
Excitement for the fan.
Oh, I thought you were saying evaluation.
Yeah, but also, Chu, like, the combine, none of the top guys work out at the combine anymore. They do it all at their pro day in a controlled environment. Yeah. They don't want to be there. Like, the combine, as the NFL continues to grow it into a, like, big part of their business, and it's, like, one of the hallmarks of the season, like, coaches aren't even showing up to this thing, Chewy, anymore.
I know, but,
like, you can't tell me that this is important when teams are going, eh, we don't need to go.
But it's not like they're not sending representatives. They're just not sending the coaches. And Adam Schefter talked to us several weeks ago about part of the reason why teams have now not sent coaches. It's sort of a waste of their time. Unless you are directly involved in the evaluation process as a coach, which I don't know how much Matt LaFleur is, right? It seems like that sort of coaches coach, GMs GM, and players play. That seems to be the mantra, the thought process in Green Bay. So Shefty was telling us that a lot of times these coaches are getting pulled in a million different directions, mm-hmm. and they don't even get the opportunity to do what they would want to do, which is evaluate, meet players. You know, you got a lot of agents yakking your ear off and stuff like that, Chu.
But you know what bothered me? What Shefty said about the head coaches, how they don't want to go because they get bothered by other coaches looking for a job. Hey, Matt LaFleur, you know what you were one time? One of those guys.
Yeah.
Excellent point.
You were one of those guys. So I think that's very douchey on his part. But back to the combine. I think all the combine is now is for scrubs like myself to move up.
Okay. Walk me through it.
Well, I don't think, like Gabe said, if you're a projected first or second round or even a third, they're going to your pro day because you're not doing everything at the combine and they're really focusing on that. It's really for your South Dakotas, your lesser programs, guys that are projected to be 6th, 7th free agent to move up maybe to a 4th, 5th.
Okay.
I think that's so the combine now is to build the back end of your roster, you know?
Yeah. I think that's fair.
I think that's what that is now because the top guys aren't doing anything.
True or false, Chewy? You would have gone higher had you not worked out at the combine.
Ooh.
Because famously, you had a bad workout. You've talked about how it wasn't very good. And then you went to Hooters, you know, RIP, poor one out to Hooters, who's declaring for bankruptcy.
What are you supposed to do, Gabe, when you run a 4.8, whatever?
Yeah, no, look, I'm not saying your reaction to running whatever you did was wrong. I'm just saying Hooters is going out of business. I was pouring one out for Hooters.
Well, you know when you didn't do well? You know you didn't do well when they come up to you and say, wow, you're a really good long snapper. Like, thank you. So I think that's what it's for. Would I have gone higher if I didn't? You know, I wonder if I would have went higher as a junior. Because there was talk of me coming out early.
Well, what do you mean there was talk of you coming out early? The only matter, the only thing that matters is if you were talking about going out
Mel
early.
Mel Kiper, this is so weird. Mel Kiper on his board my junior year had me as the second tight end.
Cool.
And then I went back. I don't know why. Coughlin probably talked me into it. And then I wound up being the 11th tight end drafted.
I think it still worked out for you, though.
That's what I was going to say. You talk about a sliding doors moment, Chu. Mm-hmm. Let's say you do go a different year. Let's say you do go to a different team, which you likely would have had you gone in, you know, your junior year. Mm-hmm. All of the rest of the stuff doesn't happen. Like, I mean, again, I know Gwyneth Paltrow sliding doors and whatnot, but like that movie was a great glimpse of if one thing is different, everything is different. You're certainly not sitting here with us this morning, don't answer whether or not you would prefer that.
No, but I'm a huge believer in fate. Huge believer. I think fate is. Is there anything in your career where something could happen where you wouldn't be in the position you're in? Because I can certainly point. Yeah, I can point to it. I was this close to getting cut in 93 or 94. I was this close until they traded for Reggie Johnson from Denver for like a third round pick, and then he got hurt, and they're like, oh shoot, we can't cut him now.
Damn it, we gotta keep Chimura.
I was that close. Is there something in your guys' career where you're like, holy cow, I could be doing something totally different right now?
Well, not totally different, but you know, if I hadn't gotten sexually harassed on that job interview in San Diego right out of college and landed a gig out in San Diego at 22 years old, feel like maybe my
you would not be sitting here.
That feels like a very different route. Yeah. No? Yes? You know, but that guy did say, hey, let's go skinny dipping in my pool. And I was like, no, thank you. I'm not getting out of this vehicle. And if you haven't heard that story, folks, it is a doozy.
Was that wrong?
Very.
Doesn't seem like it was right.
I always tell people that's pre-Uber, pre-cell phone, all of the things that you had to get yourself out of that situation. So really all I had was locking the door. I'm not moving.
It's called mace.
Yeah, exactly. I wish I had some pepper spray with me back then. Anywho, Gabe, you got anything like that? Yeah, I mean, sliding doors moment?
There were plenty of moments within the career where I could have ended up somewhere else within GKB.
But it's obviously within GKB.
I mean, I've been here since I was 16. I've spent more of my life with GKB than not in GKB. Sure. So, yeah, it would have been somewhere within the company. But, when I was leaving Madison, I was either going to come here or I was going to go to West Palm. And I went to West Palm. Oh yeah, I went to West Palm. They rolled out the red carpet for me. I got to play PGA National, where the PGA Tour's playing this week. Was there for a week. It was glorious.
I mean, I guess you could have been stuck in Beaver Dam. Not that there's anything wrong with Beaver Dam.
Now
you're defensive about Dodge County.
Yeah. I appreciate that you learned from your mistakes.
Not that anything wrong with
Beaver
Dam.
Wait, I'm confused. Did you just want to cover Wisconsin sports? Was that the gig? Was that like the...
It felt like I could have made more of an impact in Milwaukee. So that's why I ended up in Milwaukee versus West Palm. Because Milwaukee was going through some changes, some transition.
Go ahead, Chu.
Cone didn't want you in West Palm.
Well, was there at the time.
The transition.
They have a weird relationship. With Edwin Korn.
Yeah, very strange. And I love him to death.
I do think though that your like encyclopedic knowledge of Wisconsin sports history wouldn't have served you as well
in West Palm Beach
in South Florida. I'm just going to throw that out there. Yeah. I don't know that for a fact, but it feels like that would be true.
But the golf game, Jen, would be in real good shape. I mean, yesterday was great. Don't get me wrong. Yesterday, getting up to 50 degrees, going outside, walking the dog was fantastic. But like,
I had an awful time. Covered in mud. Jeez. I had to get a bath. I'm covered in the worst.
I mean, your dog is also
crazy.
Yeah.
Is the sidewalk shoveled? Are we all good there? No
Dude,
more fines?
It is melting.
Oh, it's melting.
Yeah,
melting.
It's mud.
Oh, okay.
It's just everywhere you go is covered in mud because everything, all that melted.
Yeah, but 50 degrees would have been cold where I could have gone.
I do think you guys underrated the combine. I think there's pretty famous stories of guys who skyrocket and can impact a lot.
I feel like that's a thing of the past though, Josh.
No,
like I feel like
Byron
that is...
Jones is a name that comes to mind. Like there are guys every single like Chris Jones was one of them. Like There, it doesn't happen every single year, but like Darius Hayward Bay became a top 10 pick because of the 40 he ran.
And that was a terrible decision.
Right. But it does impact people's draft stocks.
I'm remembering DK Metcalf at the combine.
Yes.
But he fell. Like, he had a great workout, but he fell. He was a second rounder. He didn't end up going. Everybody thought he was going to go in the first round because he had a great combine.
Dontari Poe became a first rounder from a relatively unknown place because he ran such a good 40. Like,
not gonna lie, he's still relatively unknown to me.
Oh, he was like a all-pro level defensive tackle for
the Chiefs.
Here's
what I will say, guys. Here's what I will say. I think that the opportunity to talk to guys is unmatched. I think the opportunity to pull a guy aside, have a conversation with him. I'm not talking about the weird crap that we have heard.
I was about to say, but that they get these opportunities and then waste it with
some people.
Is your
do.
Mom a hooker?
Some people do, and we wish that that was a hypothetical.
That is a statement of fact.
We wish that that was a hypothetical inquiry that one team made to a player, but alas, it is not. No, but I'm saying, like, you ever think somebody is one way, you see them from afar, and then you actually meet them, and it is just like eye-opening. Like, there is major value. These guys talk to all the coaches. They talk to all the position coaches. They've got their hands in all the things with all the programs. And yet the opportunity to just chill with a guy for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it may be, it makes a huge difference. Especially, I feel like, when you're a team like Green Bay, small town, you know, like different sort of vibe. Chew, you can speak to this, obviously. Mm-hmm. You got to know if a guy can handle that environment.
But how much can you actually learn in the 5-10 minutes?
How good are you at your job?
I don't think you can learn that much. People can hide for 5-10 minutes.
I think they
minutes.
Pretend.
Yeah, but you can tell if the guy wants to be in Green Bay. So let's say you're taking a player at a University of Miami. He's from Miami. Warm. Lot going on in Miami. And you can get a vibe from him, like, would you be okay in Green Bay? And if he goes,
no one is saying,
then you know.
Yeah.
And there's nothing
with
wrong with Green Bay.
One of 32 general managers in the NFL, okay?
There's nothing wrong with Green Bay. Lived there for many years. Wouldn't want to live there anymore.
This is a weird thing that you're doing, by the way.
Just every Wisconsin city.
Just take.
No!
What hasn't he taken out at this point? Southwest Wisconsin.
Yeah, just because he doesn't, he's unfamiliar.
He's never been there. He's never been west of Whitewater.
I think teams think those interviews can mean more than they do. And, like, I mean, remember Bo Nix was impressing, I forget who, because he had footballs in his backpack? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, that's BS.
He needed
Josh.
That. It is. The interviews, I think, are bogus. I do think Trayvon Walker becoming the first overall pick because he tested so great matters. Jordan Davis becoming a mid first rounder as well. Like, that stuff matters because, hey, this mass of humans, really flexible, really explosive, that's probably something that we could translate.
You are so wrong about the interviews, man. They are so important to some teams. And again, I'll use Green Bay as an example just because of the uniqueness of the environment. You have got to talk to these guys. Maybe this is me because I interview a lot of these players. I can tell, like, who are good guys, who are a little, but you know what I mean? Like, you just pick up on it. And the more that you talk to them, the more the greater number of people you talk to and encounter with, the quicker it is to start power ranking them.
But Jen, you're like, your piece is like, you sit down for like an hour, 2 hours, sometimes three.
What are you talking about? Who has that kind of time?
That's what I'm saying.
My interview's an hour.
But the teams aren't sitting down with these guys for an hour. They're sitting down for 10, 15 minutes. You can mask it. Like, there are plenty of guys, like, let's take Devondre Campbell as the biggest example. I know it's not the combine, but clearly the Packers thought he was a decent enough dude. The 49ers thought he was a decent enough dude. Quit on his team halfway through the year and then did whatever he did on Twitter over the weekend in terms of going crazy. Like, you think you can know somebody, but they can mask it for 10, 15 minutes.
I'm not saying that you get every single one of them right, but I think you get a good... I think energy doesn't lie. And I think when you can stand next to somebody and have a conversation with them, even if it is for just a few moments, the energy that that person puts out can be very revealing. That's what I would say I have gleaned from my time interviewing guys, and that's why I think some teams place a premium on the opportunity to get face-to-face with these players. They recognize they've been coached up. They understand. They know, generally speaking, what we want to talk about. But the idea of just getting in front of a guy and just being able to share that space, I think, is invaluable. But, you know, we should ask some of the people who are out at the combine and some of the people who cover this stuff pretty regularly.
Yeah,
but Jen, there's also an element, though, of these programs that think they can change guys. You know, they know they're... I mean, how don't you know that Aaron Hernandez is dead?
Trouble. He's trouble.
And just absolute trouble. You know, there were stories from him in college. But Belichick was one of the, I can change him. Get him around, get him in an invite, and you can.
Well, and not that the Giants were actually in a position to eventually take Jaden Daniels, but we all saw their interaction thanks to off-season Hard Knocks last year with Daniels, and that interaction didn't go great. Like, I don't know if the Giants would have taken him had they been sitting at two, had they been sitting at one, and obviously that would have been a terrible mistake.
I think based on the combine situation, it's overvalued. Obviously, interviews work. There's a reason we've been practicing the practice now for decades to hire people. I think NFL teams find a weird way of going about it and do it in a weird NFL way that doesn't necessarily translate. I think they overrate that their ability to figure it out.
You know what I think though, Joshy? I think it's a data point.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
It's like anything else. It's like when you are trying to put together the bracket for March Madness, right? Mm-hmm. You got a lot of different data points. Same thing with the college football playoff. You got all these data points, and you use each data point to help you more completely come to a judgment, come to a decision, either about a player or about a team. So I understand why teams still feel there is some value to it. We got a lot of stuff to get to this morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have Jason Wilde joining us in just a few moments. We'll talk to him about the Packers' role at the Combine. Brian Gutekunst speaks today. Matt Schneidman of The Athletic put out a list saying, here are some of the questions that I would ask Brian Gutekunst if I were in front of him. And man, there are some doozies on that list, so we'll go through that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on this morning.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
First and foremost this morning, we want to congratulate our friend Jason Wilde, who has accepted a new exciting opportunity for Channel3000.com. Jason, I for one am just thrilled that your exceptional coverage of the Green Bay Packers will continue, even if it is in a new spot. How are you feeling about this transition?
Uh-oh.
That's great, Jason. Obviously, he's just speechless.
Very humble.
He's just very, he's so excited, the words can't come to him.
Feeling that good about the new gig. No, I kid. We are efforting Jason Wilde. He was with us. He will hopefully be back with us in just a moment. But we will talk to Jason Wilde about...
Jason?
Hi.
Oh, good morning.
Hola.
Hi.
I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about you guys and what a great show this is and how lucky I'm on it 3 days a week. So
well,
I just gave you the silent treatment.
Could you just for funsies pretend to be Toby Keith for a moment and I want to talk about me? Could you just for fun? So our loyal listeners would love to hear where they can read your exceptional coverage of the Green and Gold.
I don't know how exceptional it is, but it is definitely available on channel3000.com. That's the website for the CBS affiliate in Madison, News 3 Now, Channel 3, WIFC. We've got a lot of crossover between GKB and Morgan Murphy Media. I don't have any real interest in dragging my previous writing outlet, but they did choose to stop covering the Packers altogether. They gave me the "it's not you, it's us" routine, but it's still me that was looking for a writing job after they were done talking to me. So I'm really, really happy. And in all seriousness, and I mentioned this when they asked me for a quote for the press release, which I'm usually the one gathering quotes, not giving quotes. But I have always loved one of the lines that I hear from players who get cut by another team and the Packers pick them up, and they would always say, "I'm not here to prove those guys wrong. I'm here to prove the Packers right." And that's certainly my focus here. I think we're going to do some really, really awesome stuff. And, you know, we've got some pretty cool things planned and some other writing thoughts for me with our team that are a little farther down the road that I can't wait to get started on that either. So the biggest thing I would say is it won't cost you a cent to read my work, which if you want to come back with, you get what you pay for, fine. But I think it's pretty good, and I hope you'll check it out at channel3000.com.
Nice. Well, congratulations, buddy.
Thanks, Chewy.
Yeah. Jason, is the combine now for schlumps like myself, the back-end guys of the roster, to move up maybe from a projected seventh-round pick moving up to a fifth or a fourth? Is that what the combine has really now become?
Yeah. I struggle with this stuff because I am a old traditionalist who believes that the more exposure a player gets, the better, as opposed to, like, I think you guys could probably tell I'm not a Deion Sanders, Shedeur Sanders type of guy. It's not my jam. I have a lot more respect for people that are competitors who are like, I'm going to throw at the combine, or I'm going to run at the combine, I'm going to do everything that I need to do. I've got an insurance policy that's protecting me because I'm smart, my agents are smart, and I want to show these teams that I am the ultimate competitor and I am not going to shy away from any sort of challenge. And I do think it's worth mentioning that a lot of these scouts are of that mentality too, right? I mean, Goody, I think, is 49 or 50, so he's kind of in that same age range as me. So my point is that I do think it still impacts how some of these teams view different players. Now, does that mean that they're going to not draft the guy, especially if you need a quarterback? No, of course not. But I do think that the more and more guys that, you know, and I'm usually for player empowerment. I'm always for that. But in this instance, I just don't love the look and the messaging that some players send with the way they approach the scouting combine. But you're right. For those players like you who was a sixth-round pick or Tausch who was a seventh-round pick, there is still very much value in that. And let's remember that the NFL is full of guys who were not at the point coming into the league where they could say, I'm not working out. I saw some tweet from Ian Rappaport about, I can't remember, it might have been Sanders, that said he will allow his tape to speak loudly for himself. I mean, okay, that's fine, but that doesn't sound like the kind of guy I want on my team, frankly.
So where do you rank this in terms of off-season importance for teams? Or even just for fan excitement? Because, Jason, I feel like the bigger that the NFL has made the combine, the less important I feel it's become.
Yeah, I would agree. I will say this from a fan perspective. One of Sid's good friends, Addie, her dad, Chris, played at Kansas, not capable of going to the scouting combine. But he and his oldest son went to the combine a couple of years ago to watch. Like, when I started going to the combine, I had to, like, chase down assistant coaches that I knew. I remember when Brooks Bollinger was there. And Brooks obviously ended up having a very good NFL career for a guy that no one thought was going to play in the league after Wisconsin. And I remember finding Ken Zampezi, who was Cincinnati. And I said, look, we were not able to go in and watch. There were no fans in there watching. Getting the numbers, they didn't even televise it on the NFL Network at the time. And I remember Ken Zampezi, I'm like, hey, I introduced myself, said I wrote for the paper in Madison, and people are really interested in how Brooks did. And he's like, he was the best thrower in his group. And that was a group that included Rex Grossman, who was a first-round pick, and some other guys that went much higher than Brooks. And so to contrast that with now, where everything is on television, I mean, I think this is one of the reasons why coaches don't go. Now, some coaches still do, but a lot of them don't, including Matt LaFleur and his coaching staff. And the interviews are recorded, the video of the workouts is available, and you can actually watch it on your office TV while you're doing other stuff at Lambeau Field. So it is the way it works has definitely changed, Gabe, but I still think it's important. And my argument, and LaFleur and I have talked about this, I don't know what his I don't know what his guys are doing this week, like his, him and his assistants. I don't know what they're working on. And if they're getting this time because it's such a grind to spend time with their families and do some projects but not, like, be in the office, then great. I'm totally on – you guys know me. I'm totally on board with that. But if they still have a bunch of work to do and they're not taking off at all in any way, then I don't understand why you don't go to the combine. Like, you just never know what you're going to glean or pick up from a conversation. Maybe it's an assistant coach who works somewhere else that you end up bumping into at St. Elmo's, and you hit it off with the guy, and in 2 years, you have a position open on your staff, and this is a guy that you say, hey, I remember talking to him. I'm going to bring him in for an interview. He ends up being a good coach for you. Or maybe you're in on an interview, and you ask a question of a prospect that either makes or breaks your view of him. And so it is surprising to me that it seems to have lost its luster for a lot of people because, you know, this game, you can say it's about X's and O's. You can say it's about execution. But to me, what the biggest part of winning in this game is securing the right players to be on your team. And the draft is the number one way you do that.
Jason, yesterday it was announced that the league will, in fact, discuss banning the tush push. Loved how this all shook out, right? An anonymous team. Well, everyone in the great state of Wisconsin was like, I read Murphy Takes Five. I think I know who this team might be. And then sure enough, it was revealed that it was, in fact, the Green Bay Packers who proposed the conversation about banning the tush push. Are you surprised by this?
No, not at all. Now, when I saw, I think Adam Schefter reported it first, and then it was Diana Rossini of The Athletic who had the fact that it was the Packers first. I was like, well, I wonder if that's the Packers. And then when Diana posted that, I said, yep, that's exactly what I thought. Because it's not just what Murphy wrote on Murphy Takes Five, which is nowhere near as good as the insight you'll get on channel3000.com. But what was interesting about it was that this is also a man who has been tasked with floating trial balloons for the commissioner before, right? Like, that's one of his, and as he goes out the door,
yeah, they're gonna miss him.
Now floated another one.
They're gonna miss him, aren't they?
I don't know if that is that policy gonna fill that role. Like, I don't know. And so he's done this a lot, and this is, I believe, another instance of that. I did do a little poking around, and I went back on NFL Plus to find all of Tucker Kraft's tight end sneaks. And it's interesting to look at that because, you know, I thought when I first saw this, I was like, well, that's weird because the Packers do something similar. But if you go back and look, and Tucker Kraft was 5 for 5, which is a pretty darn good percentage. But if you look, nobody pushes him until, like, he's already – like the one against Philly in the NFC wildcard game, people started pushing him, but he'd already gotten the first down and ended up turning into, like, an 8-yard gain. But I was doing a thing yesterday with Corey Lindsley and James Campen and Brian Bulaga for CASA, a charity here that Corey and his wife Anna had embraced while he was playing here. And Corey made a really good point. Chewy, I would ask you about this. At what point do they just decide to stop enforcing the rule that I believe is still on the books that you can't help a ball carrier if you're one of the other players on the field? You can't push them. You can't pull them. Like, that, I know that was a rule back when you were playing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that so is the rule, you know, now? That,
I think a couple of years ago, Jason, I feel like they got rid of it, and Murphy explained it in his Murphy Takes Five of it kind of got taken off because they determined it was too tough for the officials to enforce.
Right, and what bothers me about that is that that's a cockamamie reason, right? Like, you can certainly, like, I understand. Yeah, they have the hip drop tackle. That's as hard as hell to enforce, it appears. And yet they still have it. And look, when it's obvious, it's obvious. If it's clear and obvious that you're helping a ball carrier, then if that's the reason you took it out, yeah, there are certain instances where it's hard to tell. But there are also many instances where it's blatantly obvious.
It's like the rule where you can't hit the long snapper or the short snapper. I mean, why is that so difficult? Just keep them out of that gap. Keep them out of the A gap. Say, you cannot be in the A gap. It's not that flipping hard. And they make it so difficult. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
why was there only one team though, Jason? I would think a lot of teams would have been.
Well, there definitely were other teams, but Murphy sort of took the. Yeah, fell on the sword.
Somebody's got to put it out there so they can take it to the competition committee and discuss and debate.
If I were to guess, Jerry Jones doesn't love that play.
Let me ask you a question, Jason. Do you think they should ban it? Obviously, one team is very, very good at it, and people feel a little certain some way about that. Do you think they should ban the tush push in the NFL?
I do, but it's not, you know, because I hate the Eagles or anything like that. I didn't necessarily think that until that ridiculousness in
Washington.
Against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like once we heard a threat of we can award the Eagles a touchdown if this continues, that was when I was like, look, if I'm the Commanders, I'm doing the same thing, right? I'm trying to time it up and figure out a way to do it. Now, I feel like when the Packers played the Eagles a couple of years ago, they actually did stop it at least once,
mm-hmm.
but that's very few and far between. And so, again, I don't like it, and I don't think it's the spirit of the rule. And as Gabe pointed out, you know, the fact that they took it out of the rule book because it was too hard to officiate, and then a team is taking advantage. You know this. Teams, any loophole they can find,
sure.
mm-hmm. they will take advantage of. So close the damn loophole.
But, Jason, and this is something we practice so much in training camp, and you know, four-minute run, right? Mm-hmm. You're up by X amount. There's 4 minutes left in the game. They know we're running the ball, so we got to get, I think, two or three first downs just running the ball. Hell, you could do that all game long, and they'd get how many first downs just doing the tush push? I mean, it's like they get 5 yards a pop. I think it's stupid. I think it hurts.
Well,
if
you're
get rid of it.
if you're gonna move the extra point because it was too automatic, then does the logic not also apply to this?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Good stuff, Jason. We appreciate you. Look forward to chatting with you again soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
Listen to Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every day here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, and read his stuff on channel3000.com starting, I think...
Yesterday.
Ooh.
Transform the way you do business with Fifth Third Bank's commercial payment solutions. Our market expertise and managed services streamline your entire payment process, seamlessly integrating with your existing systems to give you unparalleled control. Discover new revenue sources, save time, reduce operating costs, and boost your bottom line with our customized payment solutions. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just jump on it.
That's what he did.
Jump on it. Slow down. On 94.5 ESPN.
So the NFL will discuss this offseason whether or not to ban the tush push, and we were just discussing it here during the break. Chewy, you don't like it. Why?
No. It's too automatic. It's like, Jason, that was a good analogy of the extra point. When it's a 99.6% guarantee that you're going to get it, I just don't like it. I don't like being able to assist a runner and push the runner. It's too rugby-ish for me, and I don't like it.
Is that because you couldn't do it back in your day?
I just don't think it's good for the game, you know? For a lineman to bear hug a runner and just move him forward. I just don't think it's good. Do you guys like it?
I mean...
Like the Tucker Kraft thing's fine. It's fine. Because, like Jason said, rarely do people assist him until he's already...
Yeah, I mean, because the way the Packers run that, like, there's nobody behind him because, that, you know, usually Jordan Love would be in shotgun running back next to him, and they motion Kraft in, so then he takes the sneak and goes, and if you can run up there and assist him, you know, maybe you can get there in time.
So here's what upsets me about the whole thing, and upset is obviously relative. It's not, I'm not real mad about it, but... Most of the time when a league enforces a rule, it is for player safety. You think about the flying wedge, you think about the horse collar, you think about things like that where the league has gone, whoa, this is dangerous. puts our guys in a bad spot. We got to ban it. That I get. There are claims that this is dangerous, but there's no evidence to back that up. There's no guys from the Eagles who are like, you know, chronic neck injuries or like that's not showing up right now. So to me, they're just trying to ban it because it's boring or because they think that it's not good for the game, which again, they have a responsibility to protect as well. It doesn't bother me. I don't mind it. I'm not one of these people who's like, it's not fair for one team to be so good at a play. Well, look, there have been players since the beginning of time who are leaps and bounds, head and shoulders better than some of the other players on the field. Was it unfair that Randy Moss existed? Was it, you know what I'm saying? Is it unfair that some of these guys are just better? Is it unfair that Gronk existed during the time that he did? We were talking about him yesterday and how that offense ran through him with Tom Brady. I don't like the idea of banning something just because one team is really good at it and it's boring.
But I don't think that's why they're, the boring part is why. Because first and foremost, the NFL's not competition. First and foremost, the NFL is an entertainment product. And if the fan, if your fan base is being bored by something and it's loud enough where they're going, okay, yeah, we can get rid of this and teams can figure out what to deal with it. Because that's ultimately what the NFL is. It's an entertainment product. And they want to put out as entertaining of a product as possible. That way they get people to tune in. They can continue to make millions of dollars. Now, I don't think the tush push is going to bring down the NFL, but... You know, they wanted to make the extra, you know, I think the extra point thing was perfect from Jason. They wanted to make that a little more intriguing. Like, I mean, after a team scored a touchdown previously, you could get up from your couch and go grab another beer or go to the bathroom, whatever. And now, it's like 85% chance he makes. It's still pretty good, but I got to make sure that my kicker puts this through the uprights so we get the 7 points that we need. It's kind of the same thing with, you know, okay, this is too automatic. It's not boring. People don't like it. Let's just get rid of it.
But I don't remember an uproar. I don't ever remember an uproar like, I can't believe you can't assist a runner that has a football and help him move forward. Do you? I don't remember an uproar. It wasn't a big deal. It was just part of the game.
We have talked on this program, Chu, about banning the shift in baseball. We had a lengthy conversation, animated conversation about that when Major League Baseball proposed it and eventually pushed it through, what was that, 2 seasons ago now? And I said I didn't like it then because I think you should be able to win with defense. Not every team is going to have, you know, murderer's row in their lineup. Not every team is going to be able to win with pitching. But if you have a good defense behind your guys, hey, you put the ball in play, but you got guys where they need to be to make the play and get the out. Baseball didn't like that. Baseball was like, too boring. Not enough runs are being scored. Not enough offense. And then they sped up the game, and there's all sorts of other things that baseball decided to do as well. I didn't love that. I'm fine with it now. It doesn't bother me while I watch baseball. I'm not going, well, if they had shifted there, that would have been an easy out. Like,
I wish
that's
Bryce Terang
reality.
Was on the other side.
That's a reality, but it doesn't affect my viewing enjoyment. So maybe that will exactly be how this is. To be honest with you guys, though, there is some sentiment of like, if you don't like it, stop it. The teams have not really consistently been able to stop the tush push.
Yeah, and again, going back to the point Jason made, the point of where this got ridiculous was the best way to try and stop the tush push is being able to jump it, right?
Which is what
and
Washington
tough,
tried
which
to
is what they were trying
game.
To do. And then when you found out, because I don't know how many people knew, the official turned on his microphone and went, hey, knock it off, otherwise we can just give them the touchdown. Yeah. Like, okay, all right, well, what are we doing here? Let's just get rid of this damn thing then.
I do think there is a difference here as well. Is this is clearly a massaging of the rules and intentions of how they want football to be played and intended. The removal of that rule was not, well, hey, let's start packing everybody in and shoving them a yard forward to get first downs. The rule, they changed it because they didn't like that it was difficult to call and sometimes was being applied inconsistently. Like, this is Belichickian in the way of it's trying to find a way to massage a rule, and they're operating outside the intention of football is basically what's happening here. And I think this happens all the time in sports. You mentioned very correctly the shift and the bigger bases. Like, you have to keep updating your rules as people figure it out and solve the game. So this portion of the game has been solved, and everyone pretty much other than Philly decides, we don't really like this. It's not interesting. It's not entertaining. It removes an aspect of the unknown from the game and just becomes an inevitability, which I don't think is good for any sport.
But Belichick took analytics to another level, because if you remember those games against the Colts back in the day, and they're on their, like, minus 30, and Belichick is going for it on 4th-and-3, and everyone's like, what in the hell is he doing? Now it's no big deal. Dan Campbell does it all the time.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that's good for the game. You know?
I think anytime you get more fourth downs and potential pressure plays, that's good. I would say the NFL loves that teams are as aggressive as they are.
You think so?
I if they could ban punting, I think they would.
Who?
I don't think they want punts happening.
Is that something you want to throw your weight behind? Should we throw our weight behind that to ban punting? I mean, Chewy doesn't like punters and kickers to begin with.
Right.
I think Chewy can get on board with that.
Anything? What is it? Is it just like backyard football? Remember when the guy just used to throw it up? Hey, we're punting. I'm not going to punt. I'm just going to throw. Quarterback throws it up. Okay, that's a punt.
I would entertain not having punting. I'm serious.
It makes me think of that Dan Lanning play against Ohio State at the end of the game where he took advantage of a rule at the time, putting 12 men on the field intentionally to run off like 5 seconds on the clock when Ohio State needed every second it had in order to get themselves in scoring position. And then afterwards it was like, we work on every situation. We're very aware of the rule book. To your point about teams want to take advantage of any loophole they can find, what did college football do?
Removed it.
Closed like the loophole.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, Belichick did the same thing where he was like taking a delay of game, trying to punt it away.
Vrabel did too.
So he could, could manipulate how much time they had left. NFL closed that loophole right away. And that's what this kind of also feels like. Yeah, teams kind of manipulating the rules in their favor. Close the loophole.
I want to put two polls on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. One, do you think they should ban the tush push? And two, will they ban the tush push? Because you can have different opinions on that. Mm-hmm. You can think that they should, but that they won't. You can think that they shouldn't, but that they will. I'm curious where everybody stands on that. We'll check in with that as the show rolls on. Got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot more to get to, including why are Chewy's clothes on the internet? That's next.
What? Let me tell you about our friends at Ewald Automotive Group. Best used cars available right now, starting under $15,000. Choose from hundreds of hand-selected quality used vehicles, all with a 133-point inspection, all with a 3-day exchange policy, and all starting under $15,000. Best used cars starting at under $15,000. It's only at the Ewald Automotive Group. And with Ewald, they always make it easy. They've always made it easy for me. That's why I always choose Ewald Auto. You can too. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy's.
But remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We are absolutely pumped to watch college basketball's best players shine on the court while they chase the ultimate trophy. It's tournament time. And where will you be watching the magic happen? The only answer is Potawatomi Sportsbook, where you can place your bets on all the high-flying action. Massive video wall, sports betting kiosks, drink specials, and more. It's a basketball fan's paradise. Bet above the rest only at Potawatomi Sportsbook. Chewy.
Yep.
Why are your pants on the internet?
That is a good question. I have no idea.
Chewy's pants are, in fact, on the internet. Gabe, what did you get sent the other day?
So a fan had reached out to me via Facebook because on Facebook Marketplace, you could buy Mark Chmura game used Packers Super Bowl 31 pants. So apparently the pants that Chewy wore in Super Bowl 31 that the Packers were victorious.
Let me read to you, Chew, what it says here for the description. Mark Chmura importantly scored the final points of the game in Super Bowl 31 in these pants. He scored the crucial two-point conversion to put us up by two touchdowns, making it 35-21, right after Desmond Howard's run back for a touchdown that turned the tide of the game and brought the Packers a Super Bowl victory. To own a game-used item from such a crucial moment of the Packers' Super Bowl is a very rare opportunity.
I don't know if I would trust it. Do you think the Packers are in the business of selling used...
Well, it wasn't the Packers who were selling it, but I mean, they do.
Well, then how would they get it? I never had them.
They do a big like tent sale, and every once in a while, they've got some game used jerseys that once a year they do this big pro shop like tent sale up there at Green Bay. So I don't know if these were available like back in the day and somebody purchased
them.
Why
wouldn't you get your game-worn uniform from the Super Bowl? That was the very first question I had when you told us that you never had them.
Because we had to pay for it.
That's crazy town.
Well, you still have to.
We had to pay for it. That's why if you threw a ball in the stands, you had to pay for it.
But your Super Bowl? Like, that surprises me that the uniform you wear in the Super Bowl wouldn't just be gifted to you. Like, thanks for bringing us a Super Bowl victory. Here's your uniform that you wore.
That's what the ring is for, isn't it?
Nope. I had to buy my jersey because I have the Super Bowl 32 jersey. I don't know what happened to 31. I could tell you if they're the pants or not. I mean, just from identifiable marks.
Wait, what?
What kind of identifiable?
Skids?
Yeah, what kind of identifiable marks
are
we talking? I've only got the front of the pants in the picture here, Chew, and maybe that was strategic by the seller.
You have the picture? Send the picture to me.
I mean, it's just...
Well, we did send it in the group text.
Because there was a little scuff mark on my right... what is it called here? You pull it sometimes? Not
quad?
Hamstring?
Hammy?
No, keep going.
Calf?
Kind of groinish.
Why are we leg bone connected to the hip bone over here?
Yeah.
So right side, there's a little scuff mark?
It's almost like they sewed it or something like that. It's like right where your hip socket is.
Well, that might be higher up than we can see on this picture. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't really see anything. Well, I kind of see like an again, it's tough because it's not like a high-res picture, but I mean, there's a little imperfection kind of where the green stripe
is. How did the person who sold these get these? You think that the team sold them and they picked them up at the tent sale you mentioned?
That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Chew, do you have any idea how much they were selling for?
No idea.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because I put it into our text chain like, hey, Chewy's Super Bowl pants are for sale, and Jen goes, buy it.
And you said...
I don't just buy things that have commas on a whim.
So there you go, Chew. There's a comma. Do you want to try to guess how much your game-worn pants are going for on Facebook Marketplace?
$1,200.
That's pretty dang close.
$1,250, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And just full disclosure, there is a letter of authenticity. Certificate of authenticity signed by yours... Red Batty.
I forget. Oh, a red? Oh, well, maybe they are.
Yeah, so when they sell this stuff, there's authentications just to prove that they are actually your specific pants because they could be anybody's, and based on the player, the value would be different.
Yeah. No offense, but I think Brett's pants would go for more.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit more.
And I think the seventh offensive lineman goes for a lot less.
Yeah, well, it's the same with the rings. You know?
Oh, yeah. If you were to sell your Super Bowl
rings, have a different value to them than, you know.
We have breaking news.
Gabe, can we purchase the Mark Chmura game-worn, Super Bowl-worn pants on Facebook Marketplace?
We cannot. I don't know if the seller took them down. I don't know if they've been sold, but I tried to follow the link right before the segment, and the link no longer existed.
Is there any chance that your wife bought those pants, too?
No way in...
Just to keep anyone else from having them.
I am not a memorabilia guy. I don't have a lot. I don't care. My kids don't want them.
But she famously confiscated all of the topless photographs because she didn't want those out there in the world.
Well, she owes me beads because she did flash me at New Orleans after the game, so... And she has not paid up yet.
I feel like she has.
Hold on. I got to give her the beads.
Yeah, I was about to say, you owe her.
All right, cancel that.
That's how that works.
Dumped
it. Her the beads.
Dumped it. Thank you. Oh, I thought she owed me the beads.
No, she doesn't flash you and give you the beads.
She flashed you at the game?
No, not at the game.
Unbelievable. We roll on right after this.